The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for
you. Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jon Snow, the zero, not a no. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. If you miss the first hour, a lot of talk about bad football. And we'll get more into tonight's game as well. And at some point here in the next few minutes, we'll go through all the NFL games like we usually do on Monday. But a couple things just following up. Kyle said, UH is struggling because we have backup tight ends and DL playing on the offensive line. That's true. Their offensive line's kind of a mess.
But it shouldn't matter against SMU.
That doesn't excuse you for losing to SMU.
That's, you're literally, your backup players should be better than SMU.
Yep. So, yeah, I think there's, if that's one of the reasons why maybe the offense has struggled, that doesn't explain why your defense is getting run over the place. So, we shall see. 713-780-ESPN. And you know, I want to grab a couple phone calls real quick, and then we'll go through the games. Wendy's been very patient. Let's get Wendy on. What's up, Wendy?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing sports.
I called last week about Osweiler, and I'm calling again because we're still bagging on him. And I wanted to make a couple points. I think a lot of the issue with the fans and most of what y'all are complaining about is this salary. He's comparable to what a quarterback costs in the NFL. He's not grossly overpaid. He's been underperforming. However, I think that we can't blame drop balls and bad penalties on Brock. And he does bring value to the team with the leadership that he's had. We haven't seen a quarterback with that kind of leadership and dedication to making the team better. So I just think maybe we need to give him a little bit more time. He's had some impressive drives, not just that little bit of that game last week, but he's done some other things that were impressive. I think we just need to give him a chance and quit bagging on him.
All right. Well, listen, if I thought that it was about how much money he makes, you know, that's a different conversation. His QB rating?
For one thing, I could care less about how much money he makes. I really could.
I don't. It doesn't matter to me either at this point. And I know what you're saying as far as he's the money is the going rate for a starting NFL quarterback or an average. It's the average for an NFL quarterback, and that would be fine and good if he were playing at an average level. He's 26th in the league in QBR. That's not average. That's just bad. That's bad, and. As far as him being such a great leader, I don't know that. To me, the team had rallied around Ryan Fitzpatrick. I thought the team actually looked really good under Ryan Fitzpatrick at times.
Yeah,
I Ryan agree. Fitzpatrick was a guy that people seemed to buy into. Fans didn't buy into him, but I think that locker room did. And last year, I don't think the locker room was sold on either one of those guys, nor should they have been necessarily. But I do think that the team was really behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. And you know, we could go back a couple years when the team did believe in Schaub. I think at the end, the team kind of was disenchanted with him, and rightfully so. But being easy on Brock when he's doing nothing to warrant us going easy on him. At the end of the day, whatever money he's making is too much right now. He could be playing on the same kind of contract that Hoyer and Mallett were on last year. And we'd be talking about the Texans need to find an answer because Brock Osweiler's not it. But because he's the answer now for at least the next year and a half, people are trying to make excuses for him. The reality is he's been bad. He hasn't been average. If he were playing average football, I'd say okay. You know who's average in the NFL right now as far as QB rating? Kirk Cousins is average. Carson Palmer's average. Sam Bradford's average. Cam Newton's average. Derek Carr's average. Jameis Winston. I take those guys. Eli Manning's average. He's been well below average, though. He's been well below average. He's been worse than Cody Kessler so far. That's not good. I'm not going to make excuses for someone who's playing worse football than Cody Kessler. Because you shouldn't have to make excuses for people like that.
All right, let's go through the games here.
By the way, Case Keenum also 31 in total QBR.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that when we
Ryan Tannehill 30th though.
Oh, but he's a star.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about the game last night, so I don't know that there's much to relive there. Other than that, was just an absolute turn.
It really
fest.
Was. Yeah. I think something's wrong with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, clearly.
And that team without, and it's not all on their running backs. Their offensive line is not very good, but not having a power running game kills everything that Seattle's about.
Yep. Eagles-Vikings. Eagles beat the Vikings 21-10. We talked about this game a little bit, too, with the five turnovers. And just once it settled down, I think that the Eagles' defense has played really well at times, and they won that game for them with a couple of big turnovers.
Yeah, I was impressed with the Eagles yesterday. And the Eagles at home have been as good as anybody.
Yeah.
Their offense still not great, but defensively they had a really good game yesterday.
I actually saw a really good article about Carson Wentz and his footwork and what's holding him back, because he tends to stand like a statue, that it's better than it was in college, but it was really well done. And you see that sometimes, because that's when you see the ball sail on a guy. But the instincts are there, which I like seeing. Dolphins beat the Bills. We talked a little bit about this one, too. Jay Ajayi was the star of the game.
Couldn't stop him.
Yeah, 214 yards.
And the Bills not having LeSean McCoy was brutal. And he played a couple downs. Yeah, you could tell he wasn't the same guy. And then he left left in the third quarter, didn't come back. Without him, that offense is just not going to be good.
Yeah, they had to punt on that pretty quickly. And hopefully they can get him back 100%. Patriots-Steelers. Patriots, tougher time than I think you would have expected.
Yeah. Until the end, Jones. They kind of pulled away at the end, but
they did. And LeGarrette Blount was able to, he had a good game, and Brady was solid. And I don't think the Patriots played their best, but I also think Pittsburgh without Roethlisberger really didn't have much of a chance. I think they played about as well as they could have, frankly.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell had a good game, but again, it's not going to be enough. Yeah, I mean, you got to have to beat that Patriots team, you've got to be firing on all cylinders, and the Steelers weren't. And now they've gotten to where, what have they lost, three games in a row now?
Yeah.
It's starting to get shaky for them.
Chargers beat the Falcons 33-30.
And maybe the most entertaining game of the day, honestly.
Yeah, and the Chargers have started to pull it together. That's a couple of big wins for them on the road this time.
Yep.
They get the Broncos on the road next week, but they managed to finish a game for the second week in a row. And if I'm talking about a team that's 3-4 that could go on a run, I think the Chargers are it.
I agree with you, except I still think the Chargers are probably the fourth best team in their division, which makes it tough. And that's a credit to the AFC West, which I think we can agree is the best division in football.
At this stage of the season, absolutely.
I don't think there's a crappy team in that division, and I don't know if you can say that about any other division. Maybe the NFC East.
Maybe.
But there's no bad teams. There's no walkovers in that division, and that's going to be tough for the Chargers, but they did impress. Phillip Rivers quietly has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league this season.
He's having an amazing year and was playing great when they were losing games, too.
Yep.
And, of course, I don't know what the hell they were thinking going for it on 4th-and-1.
Bonehead coaching, man. You can't overcome it sometimes.
Chiefs beat the Saints 27-21.
Which, by the way, Chiefs -6.5.
Yeah. How about under 50.5 for me? So.
Which, by the way,
should have never happened. The Saints gave.
Saints did nothing for almost three quarters.
Yep.
And then suddenly they're back in the game and ruining things.
And pick 6 for Breeze, which he just can't afford to do that. I mean, it's a lot like Andrew Luck with the Colts. I mean, Breeze has to be perfect for them to win. And that was a costly turnover. But
what's amazing to me about the Chiefs, they've not really had the real Jamal Charles all season. And I've always just kind of been under the impression that if the Chiefs are ever going to be good, Jamaal Charles just has to be healthy and a monster. And he's been neither all year long. And here they are at 4-2. And are they the most impressive 4-2 team? No. They lost to the Texans, which kind of looks bad at this point. But this team is doing well in spite of the fact that they don't have him.
And I like what they're doing. They're easing him in slowly. They're going to need him later. No reason to rush him back. I mean, it sucks from a fantasy perspective if you have him. But otherwise, I think it's the right thing to do.
And Marcus Peters recovers a fumble yesterday. He's a turnover machine.
He's around the ball a lot, and he's a playmaker. All right, we'll get to the rest of the games. But first, you got to talk to your buddy Aubrey.
Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. What's going on, Aubrey?
Hey guys, sunshine and birds singing.
Oh, I love it.
What's a good day?
What's going good with Dirt Free, my man?
Well, I mean, when you dial 281 Dirt Free, it's our job to make things go good. You know, you don't want to have mom coming down, you know, next month here. All the family's going to start coming in. And you don't want soaps, chemical residues, a tap water. Even when you clean, friends, and you hire the average, you know, who's it out of the Yellow Pages or off the internet or off some, God forbid, some little $1.99 green sheet ad. You know, you're going to get soaps, chemical residues, and tap water. And we created our own truck water. We have a super water. It's not tap water. And our own pre-spot. We even built our own wand that has a temperature readout so we know what the carpet surface temperature is. And we use that technology to do tile, grout, leather drapes, upholstery, wool rugs. Let us start in the worst area of your home without leaving a chemical behind. And if you don't love what you see, we won't bill you. No need to worry about a refund. We won't bill you. 281 Dirt Free, dirtfreecarpet.com, 3-room carpet cleaning, only $120. We'll give you a free speed dry, and we'll give your family some tickets to the Renaissance Festival if you dial 281 Dirt Free and be one of the first 25 callers. 281-347-8373. Or guys, as you know, dirtfreecarpet.com from your smart device or, you know, from any computer.
All right. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. We're going to finish up the rest of the games from yesterday. Raiders-Jaguars, we talked a lot about in the first hour. I think the Raiders, probably their most complete effort of the season. It helped get Latavius Murray back. You know, even though he didn't have a big game, I think that added something to it. But I look at this Jaguars team, and I see a team, if you get them down, they have no chance of coming back. They're not Browns bad, but I don't see this team winning more than four games at the most, maybe five. Not with that coaching staff and not with that quarterback.
It's not good.
Lions beat the Redskins 20-17, and you know who's playing pretty good football this year? And
Matt Stafford. Yes, he is.
And 4-3.
Without Calvin Johnson. Believe it or not.
And they really haven't missed a beat offensively.
And not much of a running game to speak of either.
No, it's pretty much been all him and his receivers. And that was a good win. You know, I like quarterbacks who you give them the ball with a chance to win a game late. They make it happen. That's what he did. And they beat the Redskins. Giants and Rams. We talked about this a little bit in the first half or first hour of the show. Giants win it 17-10. Case Keenum. Four interceptions.
Yeah, pretty.
The last one was just the worst. I mean, that, I don't even know what the hell he was thinking there. The defender could have fair caught that ball.
Yeah, that was one of those games where if you're a Keenum supporter, what's his name going to write an article this week? I'm not sure.
Oh,
Chris Baldwin.
Miss Caldwin.
But yeah.
I'm not giving his name to anybody on the radio.
Yeah, he's probably not writing anything this week because
somehow it's Jeff Fisher's fault. That's what it'll be for that pass. Or the receiver didn't run the right route. Even if the receiver didn't run the right route, how the hell do you throw that ball?
Yeah,
that was the definition of a duck. Now, to be fair, the Landon Collins pick six, that was one hell of an individual effort by Landon Collins to score on that. He went through the entire offense of the Rams, and that was pretty impressive. Bengals 31, Browns 17. This was one of my losses. I thought the Browns would cover, and maybe if Cody Kessler stays healthy, they do. But, well, Bengals win.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling that. I'm not about betting on the Browns, but the Bengals actually played a pretty good game. The Browns kept it close for a little while, but, I mean, once Cody Kessler got hurt, and that's a sad thing. You're talking about once Cody Kessler got hurt, yeah, things went downhill.
Yeah, and Kevin Hogan had to come in. That's, what, the sixth quarterback they've had to use this year? And, yeah. Colts beat the Titans 34-26, and Andrew Luck with the late touchdown pass again. That's kind of how the Colts win football games, is he always makes a play late if they're going to win. And
he actually played really, really well yesterday.
He did.
And he looked sort of like vintage Andrew Luck, and probably a lot of that had to do, he got sacked twice.
Yeah.
Which, that's how sad it's gotten in Indianapolis when you say, oh, the quarterback only got sacked twice, and that's a good thing. But it was. I mean, he had a little more time than he's had, and made some really good throws. Didn't turn the ball over. That's a really good performance for Andrew Luck. A
couple of bad drops, too, or else he would have been a lot better.
It could have been worse.
Jets beat the Ravens, which I know you're out on the Ravens now.
My God, they should have won that game three different times. It's unbelievable to watch that team. And they don't have a lot of the talent that they used to have. Joe Flacco has regressed. And you know me, I'm a Joe Flacco guy. I was a big believer in that guy. And
yeah,
he got them a Super Bowl damn near by himself. But he's just not good right now.
I think the shoulder hurt. I think that was part of it. I mean, it was a question all week whether he was even going to play. But we're not seeing him make the plays at the end of games like we're used to seeing him make. Just like the Raiders game that they lost. Yeah, that's where you expect him to lead his team to victory. He didn't. And I think, 3-4 right now is probably better than they deserve record-wise.
Well,
and the Jets, of course, start Geno Smith, who winds up getting hurt. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes back and then whines in the press conference about how nobody believed in him.
Which, by the way, if you have a Ravens plus 1.5 ticket, the worst thing that can happen to you is Geno Smith gets hurt.
Yeah.
That's worst case scenario. I'm like, oh, yes, the Jets with Geno Smith is free money. Nope. Went downhill after he left. Here's the number to me that explains why the Ravens are losers right now. Joe Flacco, like we said, was questionable this week with a shoulder to begin with. 25 of 44 passing. Here's the Baltimore rushing numbers. And mind you, this is a team that led the entire first half, was in really good shape most of the game, was out in front most of the game. 12 carries for 6 yards. That's an average of a half yard per carry. That's not NFL quality football.
That's below average.
And you're just not going to win that way. And like I said, if you're playing from behind, if it's 21-0 in the first quarter and you've just got to throw, okay. That wasn't the case for the Ravens. They chose to throw the ball 44 times with a hurt quarterback and run it 12 times. And I say chose to run it. They chose to run it 10 times. Flacco had to run twice and didn't get anything out of it. It's a really, really bad look for the Ravens. And Harbaugh, who's one of the coaches I actually think is good, I'm starting to maybe lose a little bit of faith in him.
Well, he can't seem to get offensive coordinator right.
No, it's a disaster right now.
Buccaneers beat the 49ers 34-17. Not much to say about this one other than I thought it would go under. But Colin Kaepernick is just...
He's the worst.
He's garbage. And
nobody believed me years ago when he was going to the NFC Championship, going to the Super Bowl, and I said, I don't know how they're winning, but it's not because of Colin Kaepernick, because I watch him and he's not a good football player. And everyone got on my ass about it. And now they're all silent because now they see this guy is not good at football. And Jameis Winston, who has played like crap all year, looked like a hero against this Niners defense. That is just an atrocious franchise. And what the sad part is, they're not even going to get the first pick. As bad as they are, and they might be the worst team, they're not going to get the first pick because they were like silly asses went and won a game.
You imagine, though, if they went 0-6, if they had lost that and go 0-16 and the Browns go 0-16, you still don't get the first pick?
Still don't get the first pick, sorry.
Yeah, that would suck. But, and all this talk about Chip Kelly's ready to go back to college. Yeah, I'd
be ready, too.
And I don't know who thought that was a good idea, was hiring him there. But, oh, well, that's it. That's all your games.
That's all the games, huh?
Yeah.
And the big one tonight.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll have Stanford Route with us, and we'll preview that game. And We got a lot of people. What about these Tom Herman rumors? I think we did that at 4:45. I think that was on the podcast, so check out podcastarena.com. That's Stanford Round coming up next. We'll talk about tonight's game and maybe a little bit of college football that happened this weekend. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. People who have rooms of people that they love one day docked away. Just because we check the guns at the door doesn't mean our brains will change from hand grenades. You love another psychopath sitting next to you. You love another murderer sitting next to you. You think that. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
There's times I wish we could talk about the things we talk about off air with our good buddy Stanford Rout, former Raiders cornerback, former UH cornerback. We were just having a little discussion about UH, and I probably can't say that on air.
So. Oh, no, there's no way you could do that.
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just getting ready for this game we got coming up in a couple hours.
So give us your take on this. What? Tell me what the Texans have to do to win the football game. Let's start with that.
I know this. If Brock doesn't have that internal clock in his head, and after 4 seconds you got to get rid of that ball, Von Miller's going to have about two or three strip sack fumbles. That's number one. Number two, you're going to have to stop that pass game. Trevor Siemian, I think he's going to try to have, I think he's going to try to bounce back, and they're going to try to push the ball down the field to Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders and all those guys. And then also, you just can't, you can't turn the ball over. You can't turn the ball over. Brock, he better know what he's doing throwing against that secondary. And they lost two straight games to Atlanta and San Diego, so they definitely are looking to turn things around. And then on top of that, no one better to do it against than a guy who left the family to go be a part of another family.
The thing I've kind of contended all along about this game is if the Texans are going to have a chance, they need to get a lead early. They need to be able to run the football. Even if they don't run it effectively, they need to do what the Chargers did and run it 29 times.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going at the middle of that line, wear that defense down. Because if they get behind and Brock has to throw downfield, that defense is going to eat his soul.
Yeah,
and it's going to turn into Vikings version 2.0.
Definitely. I think you got to definitely use Lamar Miller big in this game. The Chargers and the Falcons showed that the linebacking core for the Denver Broncos, they're susceptible to athletic running backs, especially in the pass game, down the middle of the field. I think they got to use Lamar Miller. They got to use him, and use him more, same way they did late in the Colts game. And I think that is really one of the few chances that they're going to have offensively, because Wade Phillips, great defensive mind, Chris Harris, Keep Tlaib, Bradley Roby, T.J. Ward, Darren Stewart, all those guys out there, they're on top of their game. So they're going to make sure that Will Fuller, they're going to make sure that DeAndre Hopkins, they're going to make sure that those guys don't get off the way that they have been against other DBs. So they really have to lean on Lamar Miller running and passing, or should I say receiving, I think, tonight if they got a shot.
You're making it sound like the Texans don't have much of a shot.
I'm saying
with all your analysis so far.
I'm saying that if they don't get a lead and they don't protect Brock, and Brock does not have that internal clock in his head like he hasn't against Minnesota and New England, no, they don't have a shot.
Okay.
If they don't do those things.
How much does it hurt losing a guy like Kevin Johnson, who was playing very well for him in the secondary, and they've still got some decent players back there, but talk about the impact that's going to have, especially going up against a really good receiving core.
I think it's going to have an impact, but I don't think it's really that big of one, because once again, like I've always said before, the way that the Texans defense is formed, it's predicated all on the front seven with pass rush and everything going front to back. They run a lot of zone. That's why they sit so far off the ball as far as the corners and even the safeties. So it's not really predicated on cornerback play. And honestly, I think A.J. Boye can do just as good of a job as Kevin Johnson. Obviously, he hasn't done it in years past, but from what I've seen out of him this year, I think he'll be just fine in that role. You got Kareem Jackson, who will be back tonight, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. Jay Joe, he'll be there. So I think that A.J. Boye, I think he'll fill that spot just fine.
When you watch these guys, like Jonathan Joseph had a terrible game in Minnesota, but when you watch that as a former player, obviously he's had some injury issues. How much of that would you say, okay, dude's not 100%, or he just played a bad game? And can you tell that when you watch whether a guy might be hurting?
yes, I can tell when a guy's hurting, but I don't think that's predicated on J.J. getting older, injury, this, that, and the other. What I predicate that on is, like I said, once again, the Texans' defense is predicated all on pass rush. That play right there, the long touchdown in the Minnesota game, that was an empty formation. The receiver, I forget his name, he gave him a slant and go, beat him to the end zone. Well, if J.J. Watt is there, that play doesn't even get off like that because J.J. is putting pressure on Sam Bradford, so he's either got to let the ball go early, he's probably going to get sacked, or it's a tip pass, and that play doesn't even happen because J.J. bit on the slant, which you're taught to do that as a corner. When teams get an empty formation, the ball has to come out quick. So he's going to go, he's going to bite on the quick game. If J.J.'s there, J.J.'s disrupting that play where it doesn't even have time to form, where Sam Bradford has the time to even throw that ball.
Stanford Rout is our guest, and you can follow him on Twitter at srout, ROUTT26.
There you go, Fred.
See? I got it. Uh-huh. I got it. So how do you replace – obviously, you can't replace what J.J. Watt does, but what can they do differently in the front seven to actually get some pressure on that they haven't been able to do on these other – certainly not in Minnesota?
You'll probably have to blitz a little bit more. It's going to make everybody have to step their game up even more because, like I said, you don't replace a guy like J.J. You can't. He's a once-in-a-generation type of talent. But you probably have to blitz a little bit more. And then because of that, you might leave some players in the secondary a little bit more vulnerable because whenever it's a blitz, if it's one wrong move by the DB, a missed tackle, you try to go for the ball, you mistime it, it's 6 points. So I think that they're probably going to have to blitz more to really try to supplement the loss of having J.J. be on the shelf for the rest of the season.
We need to talk about your alma mater because that was not a good performance Saturday night.
Hey, Ohio State lost also.
Yeah.
Come on now. Players F up. Come on now.
I will tell you that
they just lost for the first time.
Yeah.
Absolutely, but
and
U of H just lost for the second time.
Wow. Yeah, to a team that had pink ponies on their helmets.
But come on now, like Ohio State lost to Penn State. Penn State is nothing.
What's more shameful, losing to Penn State or losing to SMU?
Hey, a loss is a loss. A loss is a loss. They still beat Florida State in the Peach Bowl. They still beat Oklahoma.
Oh, you're talking about last season.
But they're 5-2.
Ohio State won a championship a couple years ago. You think that makes them feel any better about losing last week? I don't.
It probably doesn't, but like I say, it happens. People lose. Look at Minnesota. Did anybody expect them to lose to Philadelphia in the manner that they did yesterday?
No.
Hey, losses happen. Obviously, it's not pretty. It's definitely nothing that you want to see happen, but come on now, Fred. Like, you still got to root for your school. You can't just lose
I think they quit. Yeah, I think they've quit. I think they quit because they lost that Navy game, and it took away what they considered to be their ultimate prize.
Of being in the college football playoff.
Now that's not attainable, which I don't think it was attainable. I really think they could have won every game and been left out of the playoff.
Yeah, it was going to be a steep hill to climb no matter what.
But losing that Navy game took away any hope of that, and now losing this has taken away any hope of the New Year's Six Bowl. I think that it may just get worse from here.
Well, see, the thing is that last week they were still number 11, even after losing to Navy, and I was still holding out hope because I'm pretty sure Louisville was going to continue winning up until November 17th. So at the very least, Louisville was going to be number 7. So them being number 11, assuming that they would have continued winning until November 17th, them being number 11, playing number 7 Louisville and beating Louisville, albeit that's not going to be an easy task, but beating the number 7 team at number 11, you got to bump up to what? 8?
Yeah.
7? 6? And I think that right there would have still been their saving grace. So, like I said, I didn't think that everything was all lost after the Navy game, but I knew that just made things even tougher. But, yeah, with this loss right here, that's a tough one to take on the chin, especially in a away game like that. But trust me, I've been in a lot of worse situations. You got to bounce back. Life is 90%, is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you react to it.
Well, the thing is, what do they have left to play for? Because they can't win the conference now with 2 losses. Navy's not losing 3 games. And, yeah, so how do you keep a team motivated like that over the rest of the season?
Well, for the seniors, it's all about how you want to go out, what type of legacy you want to have, if you want to have any shot of going to the next level, playing in the NFL. That's for the seniors. For the young guys, they're playing for their jobs. Do you want to be starting here next year? Do you want to be a backup? So everybody's playing is now for their resume. And where do you want to be at next year? If you're a senior, do you want to be playing hopefully at the next level next year? Or how do you want your legacy, your last year in college to be remembered? How do you want it to be remembered? How do you want other people to view it? And then for young guys, you're playing for your job, because if I don't like what I see, if I'm the coach, I might go out there and just go get some blue chip recruit that's a linebacker, D tackle, receiver, whatever, and then I'll just replace you next spring.
All right, give me your prediction on tonight's game. You still have the Texans in the Super Bowl here in Houston, or
man, you really have like all the jokes. He does. Yeah. He has all the jokes today. Tonight, I am saying 23-13. Okay. I think
23-13 Denver. Yes.
Man, you guys are really going to try to like embarrass me on this race.
No, I'm not. We're just trying to get you. Yeah,
it's a very simple question. Who's going to win? You pick the score.
No,
who's
going to win? 2013 Denver.
Okay.
What about you guys?
I think it's going to be, I'd say probably 24-14, something like that. So I don't think you're far off.
24-14 who?
Denver. Oh, I think the likelihood Texas wins this game is very low.
Fred?
6-6 overtime. Oh, wait, that was last night.
No, oh, yeah. You're right.
19-10 Denver with a safety and a pick six. Boy. How's that? Hey, real quick, just to lead into this commercial, are you a superhero guy?
Relatively. I'm not a huge one.
Who would be your superhero?
Oh, definitely. Gosh, man, they were just asking me this question about a week ago.
I'm not surprised. You didn't answer it, because they would turn it into some tacky read.
No, who's the person?
Holy willikers!
Who's the person part of the Fantastic Four that can be invisible?
That's Mrs. That's the Invisible Woman.
Yeah, okay. Well,
so you would be the Invisible Woman.
Obviously, I don't want to be a woman, but I'd like to be the Invisible Man.
But if you could be invisible, but you had to be a woman, would you take that power?
No, I can't take that power.
Okay, I would do it. That's too great. It's too powerful of a thing to pass up on.
Dude, I'd be Silver Surfer.
That's a good one.
That would be
He has the most powers.
Yeah.
And he's a cheater. That's not a fair superpower.
Although I'm not really sure he has a penis.
That's like Thor.
Yeah, so that's like, I mean, that's one step forward, 15 steps backwards.
Choosing alien superheroes, it's a big advantage. Superman, like, there's some guys just don't have any weaknesses. It's not fair. Thor, Silver Surfer, that's too easy. We should say you have to be like a mutant. Not an alien, a mutant.
Huh. I'll have to think about that.
I know it's not a superhero, but I'd love to be Scorpion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've always loved the spear.
Really?
I just always, every time I'm on Mortal Kombat, I always play with Scorpion.
That's what you like, huh?
Always do.
I like Sub-Zero.
Him too. He's my second favorite.
Well, if you want to go on.
Kung Lee was my guy, though. That's the man.
You want to go get any of these comics, you want to go get Silver Surfer, any of them, BedrockCityComic.com or BedrockCity.com. That's where you want to go. They've got 5 locations around Houston, great places. Westheimer, Clear Lake, 1960, Washington Avenue, Sugarland. And I'm telling you, man, I love Bedrock City Comics. They've got so many cool things for a dork like me. And the Halloween sale is coming up October 28th through the 31st, so 4 days away. They're going to have back issues 50% off, new comics 10% off, novelties 25 to 50% off, graphic novels 40% off. Man, this is just a fun place. How about this? On October 29th, free comics. That's right. Free Halloween Comic Fest comics just for stopping by to see them on Halloween, and that'll be while supplies last. I've got all kinds of cool stuff going on at the stores, and they're fun people. They care about comics, but there's all kinds of cool stuff, too. Apparel. They've got a whole display of Game of Thrones stuff. How cool is that? The owner, Richard, the GM, Mike, the marketing director, Tiffany, got a chance to meet all of them. They're fun people. They get it. You're going to go. You're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. Check it out. And stay tuned tomorrow to win a $25 gift card plus a T-shirt. That's Bedrock City Comic Company. Go and check them out. BedrockCity.com.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame
it,
dog.
And we're back. Halloween is coming, so you get a new puppy, and your best friend is known as a puppyzilla in the neighborhood. Turn your little monster into a prince with a little help from Man's Best Friend at ESPN 97.5. We're giving away a $250 gift card to Man's Best Friend to help turn your doggy disaster into a companion. Log on to ESPN 97.5.com to enter, or come by any of our station events for your chance to win. Your gift card can be used for obedience training, protection training, doggy daycare, and boarding. Man's best friend is your answer.
Woof, woof.
There's so many, I realized this weekend, there's so many dogs in my neighborhood. And this isn't really the dog's fault, but these dog owners who, they leave their dogs in the backyard.
Yeah.
And they just start barking. And you don't bring them inside when they do that. I hate you if you're that
woof,
person.
Woof.
Well, I have a whole box of hate for dog owners because you live in a high rise. It's hard to have a dog. I take her out every morning, and she's starting to get up earlier and earlier now, 5:15 this morning. And as long as there's no people on the elevator, everything's fine. But then people get on there with their dogs, and their dogs aren't trained. And I'm talking to you. You should go to Man's Best Friend. And their dogs start going nuts, and my dog gets threatened, and she's going to rip their throats out because she's bigger than them. And then people let their dog off the leash, which is illegal.
Yeah.
People don't pick up the dog poop down there, and there's not that many places for him to go, so it just gets nasty, which I know police don't have time to deal with this, but that's against the law. You guys are dickweeds. And speaking of this, I saw a woman driving today. I had to come down here this morning. I had a meeting for an audiobook we're going to do, which we'll tell you about in a few months. Cowboys fans will love it. But I saw a woman, and there's a street behind here that yeah, you have to wait to turn left because people are always coming the other way.
Yeah.
Saw a woman going like 5 miles an hour, and I'm waiting for her to get by so I can turn. She's got a dog in her lap with its paws on the steering wheel. She's steering with one hand, trying to hold the dog with it, and she's got her freaking cell phone in the other hand, either texting or calling somebody.
Playing Pokemon.
Maybe. I hope she found Squirtle. Yeah.
That's her update.
That's your, yeah. All right, let's do these Adeye Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Adeye Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Jerome sent me this on Friday, and I didn't get to it, but I saved it for today because I think it's another indication of how the clown menace has become real.
I'm so worried about that clown.
Well, it's so bad now that people are freaking out over Halloween displays. John, do you have the audio of this, my friend?
A school bus driver called police Thursday morning reporting a creepy clown holding a knife in Terry.
People need to get a life. It's Halloween.
When police showed up, they found out the clown was a fake and part of Bobby Sherman's extravagant Halloween display in her yard.
I'm having a blast. I'm loving it.
The Hyde County Sheriff's Department advised Sherman to take down those clowns.
That if somebody flipped their car because of the clown scaring them, I would be responsible.
Sherman says despite that warning, she doesn't plan on taking those clowns down.
Liability reasons, but it's Halloween. I mean, different, like, spiders scare folks. They didn't tell me to take my spiders down.
With creepy clown sightings across the country, some are concerned about the display. But Sherman says it's just been taken too far.
Nobody is going to hurt anyone. Every year, it's just going to get better and bigger.
Yeah, if you saw this woman, she could just stand out there herself and
scare
me. That
would be terrifying.
Yeah. That's from Mississippi. But, so, yeah, it's gotten so bad now that fake clowns are scaring people. I think we're getting a little paranoid. But that's your Adeye Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Adeye Jewelers Gym of the Day.
There was another clown story that I wanted to get to. Do we have time for it, John? It's very quick.
Yeah, we got a minute and a half.
Okay. Apparently, because of this menace, real clowns are kind of freaking out. They're trying to tell people that not all clowns are evil. You know, Target is pulling clown costumes. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of real clowns are saying, don't hate clowns. We're not all bad.
Yep.
I kind of feel sorry for him because, you know, I don't know. Maybe this is affecting their business. But what are you going to do? You going to hire a clown for your kid's birthday party?
I've never been like a hire a clown type of guy. I'm out on that. So, no, I'm not going to hire one, but I wouldn't have done that before.
I kind of think I want to watch that movie Shakes the Clown again. Did you ever see that?
Shake the Bear?
No, Shakes the Clown.
Oh. No,
I'm Bobcat Goldthwait. It was kind of funny. It was a bunch of drunk clowns. I think I want to watch that again.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if I need any clown movies.
Well, probably not right now. Are you? He's playing the damn...
He's a juggalo music.
Jeez. Oh,
that's what he's playing.
Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.